Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The Bald-Faced Truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth.
This portion of the Bald-Faced Truth is brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. Need a machinery job done right? Call High Caliber today.
John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News is a burr in the Pac-12 saddle. He joins us now. How are you, man?
Just calling him like I see him.
They bring some of this on themselves, don't they?
Well, they have, yes, and some of it is, you know, out of their control and out of nowhere. And to me, those are the telling. You know, it's telling when Chris Fowler, one of the faces of ESPN College Football with 750,000 Twitter followers, just kind of takes a pot shot at the Pac-12 network out of nowhere. You know, and this is just a couple of weeks after his after Herb Street has done that. So it has been a very interesting couple months.
I loved what you posted about. First of all, let's go back to Friday. Washington plays Stanford on Friday. I didn't even know there was pickup truck racing. What happened?
Yeah, me neither. Well, it's actually the second Friday in a row that happened. The UCLA Utah was also the 7:30 Friday window on FS1, and the racing went long that night as well, but because of a few factors that we only missed a minute or two of that game. The Washington Stanford game was completely different because the racing went 45 minutes long or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it was like the end of a NCAA tournament game. It went on forever. And so they have got the racing up against the football window. And if the racing goes long, it's a problem because they're obligated to show the trophy ceremony for the racing.
That's bizarre. I just kept thinking, like, why are we watching this? This is like this football can't take a back seat to this.
Well, it shouldn't. And the part of the problem, too, is that I think Fox didn't think it through. Instead of switching to FS2, which Comcast Seattle and I guess Comcast Portland doesn't get it either. They should have switched to a Fox family network that was available for the major carriers in the Northwest, like FX or Fox Business.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, is with us. Wilner, you wrote you've got some solutions for the Pac-12, and I love that you're coming up with solutions. What is it that you talked about? What is it that you know that the Pac-12 should be doing?
Basically, the Pac-12 needs to form a governing body of Pac-12 football that is devoted to producing the best product possible year in and year out, kind of modeled after the NFL Competition Committee. Certainly, it'd have to work within the parameters of NCAA legislation, but get a representative from every team, from every school, and have them have final say on matters of scheduling, oversight of officiating, any practice policies, postseason policies, give the authority to a central body whose sole purpose is to the betterment of the conference and see what happens over time.
Is it that others have done a better job, or is it just that college football has shifted and the Pac-12 has fallen behind, or how do you read what's happened here?
Part of it is that the Pac-12 is different. You know, they have got a different TV deal, right? The Pac-12 networks as a wholly owned property is different than any other conference network. Part of it is that they are dealing with the issue of the time zone, which is not the Pac-12's fault. It's just the reality. I just it seems like there are enough natural obstacles for Pac-12 football to thrive nationally that it makes sense to have a body dedicated to making, you know, every decision for the betterment of the conference. The other thing that has different is the TV, you know, the TV contracts are different with the Thursday and Friday night games, and that obviously adds a dynamic to the football season that other conferences don't have to deal with.
We asked for Larry Scott on yesterday's show, made a request with the Pac-12. They said Larry's busy for the next couple weeks, and I kind of just laughed because I thought he doesn't want to come on and talk about Friday night. He doesn't want to come on and talk about the fact that there's probably not a playoff team here. Would he be better served?
Yeah.
Would he be better served facing the music and getting his messaging out there?
Well, he probably doesn't want to talk about China either.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Scott is that I'll give the guy full credit for is he makes himself available to the media. You know, every football game he attends, he has a halftime gaggle with reporters, and I have never seen him, you know, refuse to answer a question. He doesn't always have specific answers, but he is out there, and I don't know why he said no, and it could be that they are kind of recalibrating or retrenching. I'm not quite sure, but in general, I give him a lot of credit for being out there. It has been a rough couple months, though.
Yeah, I guess what I want to hear from him is, yeah, you know, the next time we do those TV deals, we're going to do a better job of looking at how we can better serve fans. Maybe that's just a diplomatic response, but I want to hear that from him. And instead,
yeah,
I kind of just get this repeat of, well, it's the deal we have. It's the reality of college football. And it just aggravates me.
No, that's understandable. I mean, and certainly fans are very frustrated too. I think a lot of the, you know, a lot of the problem is, was rooted in the negotiations themselves 7-8 years ago. It was handled by Scott with the president's sign off and with his media consultants. And a lot of things that they did and doing those TV deals were innovative and worked well. I think the tier one deal they got with ESPN and Fox was the best deal they could possibly have gotten. But at the same time, the athletic directors were not really involved. And those are the men and women on the front lines. They may have raised a flag about the night games or about the 6-day windows or whatever. And I don't know, it might have changed something, it might not have, but at least the consideration that the folks on the campuses have, the challenges that the folks on the campuses have, may have been had a larger voice in the negotiations.
Yeah, and I wonder, it feels like Ed Ray at Oregon State is a big supporter of Larry Scott. Given what we see in the NFL with Roger Goodell sort of eroding some relationships, you feel like Scott, with the new contract, that he's on good terms and that the university presidents that he works for all sort of understand the reality?
I think so. It's an interesting dynamic because there's only three presidents who were on the team that hired him.
Yeah.
Ray, Crow at ASU, and Gene Block at UCLA. There has been a ton of turnover, even in the last 2 years, at the presidential level. And so a lot of the new presidents and chancellors are coming in with, you know, concerns being raised left and right. Washington State's Kirk Schultz was the first, you know, a month ago to really go public with a little bit of skepticism. Until that point, there had been a real united front. But I also think if you're president or chancellor of a multi-billion dollar university, you're looking for dumpster fires, and I don't think they would think that Pac-12 football and basketball right now are nearly at the level of a dumpster fire.
Wilner, I am looking at the North and South Division. Who do you think ends up in that championship game, and is USC still have a shot, you think, at a playoff?
I think that they've got a shot only in like an alternate universe deal. They need so much help to get in with two losses, and not only two losses, but one of them is a 35-point loss. So I think that they're you know, not a reasonable path into the playoff for USC. But they will be the favorite in the Pac-12 title game, right? Because they're done this week. UCLA is their last game. They're going to have a bye before the title game. So whether they're playing one of the Washington schools or Stanford, that team is going to be playing on a short week, and the Trojans are going to be coming off a bye. So that's going to be a big advantage for them. But I just don't know how they're going to get in with two losses, especially if Notre Dame has two losses. There's no way USC is getting in ahead of Notre Dame.
I have a Heisman vote, and I'm looking at Khalil Tate. He's coming to Oregon, and Bryce Love at Stanford. Who should be the Heisman candidate in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it should be at this point. It should be Love, just because, you know, as incredible as Tate has been, it's six games, and Love has been doing it either at Tate's level or slightly below for a longer period of time over the course of the season. I mean, he was ripping off, you know, 50, 60-yard touchdown runs in September when Tate was not playing. So Tate is phenomenal. He'll be a Heisman candidate, you know, for a couple of years to come, I'm sure. But if I were going to pick one, I would give my vote to Love, just for his, you know, the longevity of this season.
Tate's interesting to me because I'm torn. Like, Rich Rod came on this show yesterday and he made a case that Tate's helping him recruit because guys want to play with him. He's a young player. They want to be around him. But if I'm a wide receiver, do I want to play in that offense with Tate throwing the football?
Yeah, good question. I mean, they do look downfield. You know, the whole thing is that you get the defense paying too much attention to Tate and hit him downfield. So if you're a receiver who doesn't mind being targeted, you know, five times a game with a good chance to have a couple big plays, great. If you're a receiver who wants 8-10 catches a game, it's probably not the offense for you.
Wilner, Oregon, Arizona, who you got?
Who's playing quarterback for the Ducks?
Let's say Herbert.
I got the Ducks.
You believe?
I think they'll win both if he's back. And it's a perfect time. It didn't make sense to me they were going to play him against Washington because of the Husky defense and because of the bye coming up. But boy, this is the perfect time. And I think the Ducks will be, that byes this time of year are unbelievably advantageous. And that is 2 weeks for Levitt to get those guys ready for Tate. And if Herbert can actually give them some kind of, you know, downfield passing game, I think they'll win.
Wilner, love you, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, my friend. Thanks for having me.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. Follow him on Twitter. Read him. He's a resource. He's picking Oregon over Arizona. What do you say? Tweet at me at John Canzano, BFT. And up next, we're going to talk about the biggest stadium scam in the world. Costs you a lot of money to go see a sporting event these days. I was looking back. Game 5 of the NBA Finals last year, a fan reportedly paid the most money ever paid for NBA tickets. Game 5, floor seats, two floor seats. Game 5 of the NBA Finals last year. What do you think a fan paid for two seats to Game 5 of the NBA Finals last year? Gliss, you'd produce this show. I think you have a good sense on, you know, floor seats will still cost you for a regular season game anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 to sit on the floor. Game 5 of the finals, two of them, what'd they cost?
I'm going to go $10,000.
Okay. Droz, you're the air traffic controller.
Let's go $25,000.
You guys on The Price is Right would both suck. A buyer paid $133,000 last year for two seats to Game 5 of the NBA Finals. I am cringing when I'm looking at the average ticket prices for NBA games, the average ticket prices for NFL games. And again, the most expensive tickets... You know, the Warriors tickets, the Knicks tickets, And I'm not even talking about like face value. Even on the secondary market, the tickets are ridiculous price. So a ticket bureau priced tickets on the secondary ticket market for this season. Okay, 30 NBA teams on the secondary ticket market. We're not talking about the deals that the team gives. And the Golden State Warriors' average ticket price on the secondary market is $240 a ticket. It's not worth it. And I know we could talk about, by comparison, the average Blazers ticket on the secondary market is $75. I still don't think it's worth it. Eh? You're kind of going, maybe? Is it worth it just for you, or do you take the whole family?
I don't know. It depends, you know, on where the seats are, all that. I mean, because I've seen secondary tickets, like, if you're looking anywhere near the 200 or 100 level, it's a couple $100.
Yeah. But if I tell you, look, we're going to get you, you know, you have four kids. Three of them would be ticket buyers, I'm sure, because the baby, you know, you could hold the baby. So you're looking at five tickets. Even at the $75 ticket range, which would probably be one of the cheaper 200 level tickets, you think, or a 300 level good seat, maybe mid court, down low in the 300 level, $75?
No, not worth it.
Yeah. Because we could complain, like, I go to the games and sometimes I'm going to eat dinner at the arena or whatever, and I go, hey, I'm going to go out onto the concourse, and I start looking at like the price of things, and I'll pay it because I'm going to expense it. But I'll look up and I'll be like, gosh, if you know, if we had the whole family here, by the time we get done with tickets, by the time we get done with, are we going to eat at the arena, park, okay, you're going to park anywhere near the arena, you're paying $20, $25 to park. And then the kids are going, oh, can I get the foam finger or the cotton candy. Or hat or a t-shirt? And at the end of this thing, like, you're out like a week's pay.
Yeah, I don't think there's much under $10 when you walk the concourse. No matter what you're getting, pretty much everything is right around $10 a piece.
What's the worst value in any sporting event that you've been to? I want you to tell me what you go in and you go, that is just the worst value. Is it the parking that you cringe at? Is it the cost of concessions that you cringe at? Is it, we don't eat at the stadium, or we don't eat at the arena. We either bring food. When I was a kid, we used to go to San Jose State football games, and it was a cheap ticket. It was probably like a $5 ticket at that time. Spartan Stadium, and we would make hot dogs like that morning, and we'd wrap them in tin foil. And so they look like old ladies. These hot dogs were all wrinkly, and the bun was all soggy, and you got, this hot dog has had a better day. Early hours ago, but we weren't buying the stadium food. And that was even before now, where it's like, you know, $9 or $11 for a beer, $8.50 for a hot dog. So what is it that you just cringe at when you go into a stadium? Because at $75 on the secondary market, the Blazers, you know, they're about average on those ticket prices. Talking secondary market, because somebody from the NBA team is going to be like, hey, that's not our ticket price. The Warriors at $240. The Lakers are at $150. The Knicks are at $190. The Spurs are at $100. Average ticket, $100. Who's going to the games? 503-417-7575. Tell me what you cringe at when you go to the stadium. Is it simply going to the stadium or the arena? Mike's in Portland. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, man. Not so much about the prices of things. I mean, that's just kind of general inflation, trying to take the family to a movie.
Is it,
though?
Go buy a
nice shirt.
Go buy anything. Yeah, but I think...
Main thing
Hold on. But I want to talk about this. I can go to a movie, and I think the inflation of going to a movie is way more reasonable than what's happened in sports.
I agree.
Because, like, when you were a kid, what did it cost to go to a movie?
Like $5.
Yeah, it was $5. And what are we at now?
Yeah, Glass, but my dad was like 10 cents or something.
Yeah.
So. It's probably, what, like 12, 15 bucks?
Now we're at 12 or 15, but I went to a football game for $5, and I'm not getting into a football game now for anything under, what, 40?
I've never seen tickets that cheap.
75? Anyway, go ahead, Mike. You want to talk about TV? Let's go.
I do. And I got to get a little pushback here on this, because the two TV deals that you really have problems with are the Blazers and the Pac-12.
Yes.
And there's a big commonality between those two that is the problem. And I think you kind of forget, because it's your service and you like it a lot, that the commonality is DirecTV. Like, I have never had DirecTV, and I've had zero problems with anything whatsoever. Like, Blazer games, you can watch on so many different streaming sources legally and purchase them on Dish Network, on this and that, and on all kinds of fun stuff. Just like the Pac-12, you can get it all kinds of different ways. There are two main problems, you know, between the two of them, and both of them always go back to DirecTV not providing it. So I'm curious why you don't push back on DirecTV as much as you do these two individual entities for the things that they have.
The problem Friday was Fox Sports One, which is a whole nother deal. It wasn't a DirecTV Comcast thing. I am frustrated with Comcast, which tried to change its name to NBC Sports Northwest to make you forget about how crappy the service is. But it's a rebranding. Don't be fooled. It's the problem on Friday was the Washington-Stanford game, which the television deal with the Pac-12 is, you know, is allotted to a Friday night game on Fox Sports One, which is fine. It's available to everyone. It's a big football game. It should be on. But the problem is, Fox has pickup truck racing that is on before it, and they couldn't keep the damn trucks on the track. And then they're contractually obligated to show the post-race, you know, victory ceremony. So what happens? Fox Sports 1 says, oh, we'll just push it over to Fox Sports 2. The problem is, the people in the Seattle area couldn't get Fox Sports 2. It's not available. Same thing in Portland. You couldn't watch it. If you had DirecTV, you couldn't watch it. You were watching pickup truck racing. So to me, the big picture is the Pac-12 TV deal stinks. They sold out to ESPN, which I understand. They took on the Thursday night games. They took on the Friday night games with Fox. That I get. I get what you're doing there. But it has dramatically increased the lack of visibility for the conference. It's caused people on the East Coast, they're watching the 2 o'clock in the morning, the football game's on. They're not watching it. And then beyond that, my problem, I do have a problem with Comcast in that it's not available. And you bring up streaming options, like 58-year-old Martha, who's living in Woodburn, is going to go, oh, yeah, I'll just go over and stream that on my Xbox. Not happening. See, it's a distribution issue. And the Pac-12, here's the problem. There are two missions when you cut a TV deal if you're the Pac-12. Either distribution and or revenue. That's it. Those are the two things that matter. Distribution and revenue. If you have distribution, I would understand why you don't have revenue. Like if you just chose, hey, we're going to have wide distribution, we're going to be widely available, everybody's going to get to see our games, but we're not going to make as much money, but we think that the trade-off is we're going to have wide distribution. You can make that argument to me, and I'd sit there and go, hey, at least you have some rationale behind it. Or if you said, we are going to have revenue stream coming out our ears. We understand we're not getting distribution, but the money was just too much to pass up. I would also understand that argument. But what the Pac-12 did is it chose a model that gives you neither wide distribution nor maximum dollars. It's insanity. You don't have visibility for recruiting. You have people like the caller calling in saying, that's very easy. You can watch it on all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, I can get it on Dish, or I can switch my provider and get it here, or I can get an Xbox there, or I can buy Sling Blocks and have a neighbor get it, and I can sling it over to my house. And that's just not working for a lot of people. Just make it available like every other conference in America. And Comcast, if it's being real, and I've talked to the people involved in negotiating the deal, I've seen the numbers from both DirecTV and from Comcast or NBC Sports Northwest. It's the same entity. I have seen both sides of it. Comcast will now tell you they made a dramatic mistake in not taking these games on and setting their number too high. They made a mistake. And DirecTV would like to rectify that, but I don't know if DirecTV has any interest in it. I don't think they need them. I don't think they need the Pac-12 network. I don't think they need the Blazers. They're just, you know, sitting back going, hey, we're cool. But we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that have been lost by not having these games available. And the guy's asking me why I have a problem with it. It isn't about me. It's about the 40 people I hear from on Friday night, the 40 people I hear from on Saturday, the 40 people I hear from on Sunday, the 40 people on Monday, and they are really at their wits' end, and they just want to watch their team. Leave it right here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.